All right. Can we open our Bibles to begin our teachings today? We'll read two important portions of the Holy Bible. And then we will continue our discussion on how to witness for Christ or how to preach the gospel of Christ Jesus, how to fully and properly represent Him. All right, let's start by reading from the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. Or first of all, let's read the one we've been reading, the book of Luke chapter 24. That would be a good one to start. Let's just maintain that as our text. The book of Luke chapter 24. Now, these are the things that happened after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to start reading from verse 44. Now, after he had come to them and they had eaten together, and then in verse 44, he began to say, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which were written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and then he began to tell them many more things. Among the things he told them, he said to them in verse 48, "You are witnesses of this." Okay, let me just read that from verse 46 so that I will get it flow right. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ must suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Please notice that it's beginning from Jerusalem. He now said, "You are witnesses of these things." That is, he told them, in summary, all the things that they had experienced, his death, his resurrection. And he reminded them that these were the very things he told them while he was still yet with them. And these things were recorded in the law of Moses, and then in the prophets, and then in the Psalms. Now, listen to this. They are witnesses that the things written in the law, in the prophets, and in the Psalms were fulfilled. Are you getting my point? That is, that's what they are. He said, "You are witnesses of these things." Now, what he was saying, in effect, is that, like we explained last time, and which we all know in common day English language, that a witness is not a witness because he's in court. A witness is a witness because he was a witness to the things that occurred. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is because he's a witness, that's why we now call him to court to come and testify. That is what makes him a witness. It's not the fact that he's willing to testify. That is very crucial, all right? But more importantly than the fact that he's willing to testify is that he has something to testify about. That is not just a witness because he can talk, which is what a lot of us think Christianity is. That you're a preacher because you can talk loud, you can argue. You understand? You've heard it before. They said somebody can argue a lot, that you should be a lawyer. You understand? That's what children say. When you grow up and you know what it means to be a lawyer, you know it has nothing to do with your ability to argue. Do you understand what I'm saying? You must know how to reason, and you must know the law, right? You can go there and be arguing and not making any point. At the end of the day, all right, you don't win the case. You know, I remember once, this is just by the way, I don't know why I'm just digressing. You know, if you don't know the rules of boxing, there was Peter Koyeguachi. Remember, I don't know how many of you remember Peter Koyeguachi. That was Los Angeles 84, all right? I think, was it Seoul 88 or Los Angeles 84? Yeah. So, whether it's Montreal 92 or is it Moscow 48, we have no idea. You're not watching Olympics in 84. All right, I watched Olympics in 84. I watched it very well, all right? Anyway, I think it was Los Angeles 84. Peter Koyeguachi actually got a silver medal in boxing, all right, in his weight category. And I remember that when he fought the American, all right, in the finals, because he lost the finals, that's how come he got a silver medal. He fought really hard, and the rest of us were very excited that, good, Nigeria is going to get a gold this time. And I remember the commentator say, "Oh, surely Nigeria has won the gold this time." And to our amazement, when they read the results, do you get what I'm saying? I think either two or all the judges gave the fight to the American. So we had that in our minds that these guys are cheating. They are cheating. It's because we are, you know, inferiority complex and oppressed people's complex. That's because we are from Africa. It's because, anyway, sometime later, I had a friend, all right? Now, this guy, he's into boxing. That is, he was learning, I think it was an amateur boxing then, all right? So he's into proper boxing as a sport. So later, we were just talking about it. He said, "We should all get away, that Nigeria didn't win anything." I said, "What do you mean? Didn't you watch?" He said, "Listen, I watched it. But not only did I watch it, it was used to instruct me in boxing. That they played the video and showed him this is how to box, this is not how to box. And he, with an informed mind, saw that Nigeria lost. But the rest of us just say, you could just be throwing the blow. You throw the blow from now to tomorrow. The other guy knew that it's not about activity. It's about landing crucial points. And I remember Duncan Dokiwari, the same thing. He got a bronze medal. He lost in the semifinals to one guy from Tonga. And I remember when they were playing, he just stood down there and was angry that he was robbed. He said in Nigerian newspaper he was there. I was robbed. We watched the match. Oh boy, you were not robbed. Because by that time we had learned how to judge. And I was much older, of course. This was many years after. All right? And then, because of technology, they were showing, as each point was being recorded, you see it on the screen. Of course, the boxers couldn't see it. And he lost in the last 2 seconds or so. He was tying with the guy, and then just before the bell went, that guy landed one square, bam, on his face. All the judges recorded it. So he lost by a single point against the other guy. He was so shocked that the guy from Tonga beat him. What am I going to say? Sometimes we think it's about activity. You throw many punches. No, that's not what it's about. It's whether you were there. Are you getting what I'm saying? What makes you a true witness for Christ is not that you can talk plenty. Were you there? Are you getting what I'm saying? Did you see it happen? Yes, you could, all the scribes and the Pharisees could quote a lot of scriptures. But that's not what makes somebody an effective witness for Christ Jesus. Jesus said, listen, you guys were there when I said this will happen. I showed you the scriptures in which these things were written. And then you saw it happen. Now you are a witness. I have now risen up again. All right? Now you are witnesses of these things. So when they wanted to replace Judas, they made sure they got a man who was a witness to these things. Do you understand the point? Do you understand the logic here? So I'm trying to explain to us again. We said that last time. There's a difference between being a preacher and being a witness. An effective preacher must first be a witness. Now, let me explain something. We'll go on. Because the foundation here, we cannot repeat it now. What I mean is that you were not there. You cannot go 2,000 years ago to go and witness the event. But even till today, you cannot preach that which you have not handled. We read that last time from the book of John. That's the first John. John said that which was from the beginning. All right? Which our ears heard. Let me just read it so I can quote it correctly. He said, which we heard, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we beheld, and our hands handled concerning the word of life. In verse 3, it says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just trying to review something we said last time. So, you see, a witness is somebody who witnessed an event. Are you getting what I'm saying? A witness is somebody who knows what he's talking about. He's not somebody who just read something and is so proud to declare it. No, a witness is somebody who God has touched. You get what I'm saying? Who has a walk with God and can beat his chest that indeed I know this God. And listen, until you arrive at that point, you can never be an effective, all right, witness or preacher or minister for Christ Jesus. Now, let's remind ourselves of that. Now, I said we should open to somewhere, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read that one now. What I'm laying emphasis in this series, or in this portion of this, our faith basic series, is for us to get it clear. What does it mean to be a witness for Christ Jesus? Let me say it again. There's an epidemic of Christianity. You know what I mean by that? Yes, and then we think that Christianity is just another religion. So that people have the acts, the behaviors, all right, they have the modes of worship, what I call rote worship. If you read that in my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I describe rote worship. We just know how to do it. So they tell us that, look, you must go and witness for Christ. So you get up, whether you have something to say or not, you go there and you do it just because it must be done. Now, as much as I'm not trying to discourage that, I'm just trying to say that we must put things in proper perspective. We must know exactly what we are saying when we are going to say something for him. And I explained something last time, most importantly, as a believer. Listen to this. The first thing about witnessing for Christ, what I mean by telling the story now, is that your life must reflect his image first. Your life must reflect his message. That's the better one. Let me start with that. Your life must reflect that message. Do you get my point? before you can effectively declare it to somebody else. Look, listen, it is pure hypocrisy for you to say one thing and to do another. Listen, we have to get back to the basics. That's what hypocrisy is. To say one thing and behave in another fashion. Christianity is not that we go and say, okay, God said we must preach, so we preach. It doesn't matter how we live after that. That's not what it is. The issue about witness is that first, my life must reflect something. Whether I speak or not, all right, I must be reflected. This, the message of Christ must be reflected. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Let me just tell this story. I read it. I can't remember where I heard it, but I think it really happened. Somebody was preaching on TV. I think I heard this. How many of us have heard of St. Francis? St. Francis of Assisi. They said one day he gathered his fellow monks, his students, and said, today we are going to preach. So everybody got ready. So they got up, left the monastery. Where are we going? We're going to the market. So they got to the market. They walked up and down, walked up and down. After a while, said, let us go. So the men asked him at the end of the day, are we not going to preach? He said, if our presence didn't say anything, our talking won't say anything. St. Francis, that's what St. Francis said. He said, if our presence didn't say anything, our talking wouldn't say anything. That was the message for that day for his students. He made them walk around the whole market. They were walking up and they were waiting for, when will it start? Who repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. The man went round and round, guy carried them up, and after he said, let's go back home. They go back home. Okay, what happened there? He said, by simply moving around, we didn't make any statement. They will know one thing for sure. We could have spoken from now till tomorrow. We would have made no statements too. That is what I'm trying to explain. That's what I'm trying to bring to us as believers. Let's realize that that's where it starts from. All right? Now, I'm continuing from there. That's what we said last time. Let's just continue. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'll read two verses. He said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now, listen to this. There is a purpose for being a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, and a special people that God possesses. He said, this is the purpose, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He said, for you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now listen to that. That is, you are a special person. Before now, you were not a people. You did not have mercy. But now you are the people of God, not Israel in Jerusalem. You know, I keep on saying that physical Israel. Christians in America can love to gather and say that that is the purpose that God gave them. That's their problem. It's not your problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? You now, listening to me, Peter wrote that you are now the people of God. Are you getting the point? Now, this is the issue. Why are you like that? It's because you are supposed to go out and proclaim the word is excellencies. If you have a King James, you use the word praises. But I'm using New American Standard, which gives a very, very good translation. They have read commentaries. And what it says is the excellencies. All right? And that's what I want us to bear in mind. All right? The word excellencies. One more scripture, then I begin to teach. Isaiah chapter 2, quickly. The book of Isaiah chapter 2, from verse 2, it said, now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. Now, please notice this next line. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He said, it will judge between the nations, and it will render decision for many peoples. Please, let me just jump to down verse 5. Now, because of this thing that we have seen in the preceding verses, he said, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For thou, that is the Lord, hast abandoned thy people, the house of Jacob. And this is the reason why God abandoned them. Because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines. They strike bargains with the children of foreigners, and then this has gotten them results. But the point is that, though they have gotten silver and gold and all of that, at the end of the day, they are no longer what God expected them to be. So Isaiah was calling, he said, come, house of Jacob, let us return so that we can become the mountain that is elevated. Are you getting the point? So that we can, the Lord can go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, that's just, I wanted to explain that. Now, let's continue. Let's begin to teach. All right? Now, we're talking about witnesses. All right? How to witness for Christ Jesus. I've already established, and we just said that a short while ago, that it's not just about talking. Do you get my point? If there is a case and you show up and you say you are a witness, and say, were you there? And you say, no, I was not there. You are not a proper witness. All right? And so I'm emphasizing to us that first we must be witnesses before we begin to witness. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right? If you are not a witness, listen to me, don't go and say what you don't know. You are not doing God any favor by saying things that you don't understand. Very, very important. Now, today, I want to go on to one light about it. One of the ways by which we witness for Christ Jesus as part of becoming witnesses so that we can now witness, or that is declare and preach for him. Now, there's a story I like to tell all the time. I've told it several times. I know you may be getting tired of hearing it, but it's such a beautiful story. I can't stop. Is that okay? But today, I'll add another story to it. You've heard of Demos Shakarian, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. If you have been coming here for over a year or two, and you have not yet read The Happiest People on Earth, you're not my friend. Like I tell my son, that is, I can't think something is, you should see me, I should counsel you, you have a problem. You know what I'm saying? So I've been telling this story for a long time, and for the last two or three, I've been begging people to go and read that book. I'm sure you'll have read it by now, right? If you have not read it, don't put up your hand, amen? No worries. But I refer to the book a lot. I really pray that you read the book. It will bless you, all right? That's why I keep on referring to it. I don't sell it. This is a story I want to tell. How do I start it? First, let me make this statement and I'll tell the story. I said something to us before. You are not Rehan Bonnke. Amen? What is your name? Chizara. There's no Rehan or Reinhardt, and there's no Bonnke in your name. All right? So you don't have to tell the stories of Rehan Bonnke to preach your own message. The good place to start. You're not Billy Graham. You know, the first time, if you grew up as a Pentecostal in the faith, first time you hear Billy Graham, you wonder what he's talking about. What I mean is that he has his messages have a stereotype. What I mean by message, the whole program. They will get a well-known figure who has been converted to give a testimony during his crusade. They will sing a song, the man will preach, and he will give an altar call, and that is the end of the crusade. But as a matter of fact, that man represented Christ effectively in his own ministry. Now, I'm bringing out something. But if you see somebody like R.W. Schambach preach, he doesn't do like that. He grabs the microphone and makes a lot of noise. And there's an anointing on that noise. Please, I'm going somewhere. Rehan Bonnke tells his own stories. There's a way he does his own crusades. So you see those men, they were operating their own ministries. Is that okay? Or they operate their own ministries. Now, when we want to get results like them, we unconsciously want to be like them. I don't preach the way any of these people preach. I'm a teacher. Believe me, I've heard testimonies, and I know people have been converted by my own teaching, just the way I teach. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. Now, Charles Finney, another very good example. Charles Finney was not what you call an evangelist or apostle. Now, I'm putting that just to, so that we don't cause confusion in this message, all right? Charles Finney wasn't like that. He was a teacher. If you read his books, Charles Finney was a teacher. Yet, he's still regarded as one of the greatest revivalists or evangelists, the way we say it, all right, that ever lived since the times of Paul. But he was a teacher. Now, I'm bringing out something up. You see that all these people, they are ministers of the gospel, what we call a fivefold ministry, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. All right? But I've given different examples so that you will see that each person had his own pattern, all right, of ministry. Now, it would be wrong for Charles Finney to see that, let's just try and overlap their times. Maybe he goes out and says that, oh, Rehan Bonnke is getting results. So say, let me go and do the way Rehan Bonnke is doing. No, it doesn't work like that, all right? God has placed an anointing upon him, which will function in a different fashion from other people. Now, listen to this. We are not all ministers like that. What I mean is that pulpit ministers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, teachers, and all of that. Christians are not all in that category. The Bible says clearly for Ephesians chapter 4 that these people were called out for the perfecting of the saints. And they were called out to perfect the saints for the work of ministry. That is, all the saints have their work of ministry. And all the saints have the ministry of reconciliation. Let me say that again. All the saints have what? The ministry of reconciliation. All the saints have the work of ministry to perform. And that is a matter of fact. In fact, you will see that all the church that were scattered abroad, the Bible said they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Now, what I'm going to bring out here is this. So you see, to read the laws is not peculiar to any ministry. We make it look as if it's just the evangelist. No, it's not so. It's the job of everybody. And that's how we're discussing this thing. Now, why did I tell all that story? I want to just bring out an issue. Reinhold Bonnke is different from Billy Graham and operates differently. Billy Graham doesn't go anywhere laying hands on the sick. He doesn't do that. But you see, Benny Hinn, that's what he does. Archbishop Benson in Dawson in his days, that's what he used to do. That's how he used to come preaching. You can't count who had more results. Really, you can't. You and I cannot. We cannot. We do not have the ability. We don't. And as a matter of fact, it's the Holy Spirit that works. There's one man I listen to a lot, Ravi Zacharias. His own is even interesting. When he's preaching, one thing you don't hear him quote is Matthew chapter 1 verse 15. Genesis chapter 6 verse 12, no. When he starts quoting, he'll tell you Fanon France said, and then from the words of nature, you'll read this. In the days of Pythagoras, Pythagoras said this. Aristotle used to teach like this. That's all he used to say. If he quotes Paul, he quotes Paul as if he was another philosopher. The only person he ever quotes and makes look unique is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me, there are times you will finish preaching and Islamic fundamentalists will come, fall down and give their life to Christ. And doesn't organize crusades. He only preaches in universities and institutions of very high learning. You can't listen to him if you are not well schooled. If your English is still trying to rearrange itself, forget Ravi Zacharias, he'll not be your friend. He talks to intellectuals. That's his own calling. He calls himself, and many people like him, they are called Christian apologists. He's a seasoned philosopher. That is no ministry. I've listened to Ravi Zacharias. I have plenty of his messages. Of course, I learned from all these people. All right? But you see, once I man the pulpit, Ravi Zacharias not concern me again. You know what I'm saying? I don't talk to hyper-educated people. He doesn't pray for the sick, but he converts the high and the mighty. It's not human struggle. It is the working of the Spirit of God. Let me quickly jump into it from here. If Ravi Zacharias goes to those places and starts being Reinhold Bonnke, the Holy Spirit will say, excuse me, sir, and go and wait outside. That when you finish, meet me outside. Are you getting my point? If Pastor Bonnke finishes reading to Ravi Zacharias and feels so quiet with himself, now also, because if you hear him talk, you'll be intimidated if you don't know what life is really about. That means his learning is too much. His learning is too much. He will confound you with English language. He's an Indian. Oh, I forgot to mention that to you. He's an American. The Ravin, you've watched Indian movies. The Ravin, his name is from India. But you hear it in his accent. His English is very good and polished, but you still see the fringes of in the accent inside there. Alright? Now, so if I decide to speak like him, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will wait outside. Those of you outside the door will feel more Holy Ghost there than those who are inside. Why am I saying all of these things? This is how we misrepresent... No, that's not a good way to put it. This is how we become ineffective in witnessing. When we leave our own area of anointing and we go and camp somewhere else that belongs to somebody else and we think we are preaching. Now, all the examples I gave are preachers and I'm comparing them side by side, but I said something earlier on and which I've said several times before that we are not all preachers, you know, like that. Though we are all preachers, amen? We are all ministers, we are all representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are not all, you know, this kind of preachers, all right? Apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, not prophets, all right? But using those people as examples, that helps us to get something also clear. Since we're all ministers, We all have an anointing. What do I mean by an anointing? We have places on or methods we operate by that really, really, really allow the Holy Spirit, the part of Him that's unique to us, to manifest. I have a few examples. You know, many years ago, I think I've told this story before. I was leaving Lagos in a public, in a taxi, right? Public transport. A number of us were inside, and one young man wanted to share. And it really struck me. It was beautiful that time. I mean, never had anything like it. I was used to, if you have to preach in a bus, and that's why you have been having struggles. So. I was used to, if you ever have to preach in a bus or public place, you have to stand up with, the soul that sin it, it shall die. I am warning you, today is the day of salvation. Repent or you shall likewise perish. Do you understand the point? Yeah, I'm so used to that. So once somebody stands up, even though you're a Christian, you know you don't even listen to him. Let's be honest. Once one of your brethren stands up to preach in the bus, in fact, half of the time you're embarrassed, like, hey, I hope he's going to preach properly. Then he starts, and then they are very interesting people. You are here, you are still smoking cigarettes, you're about to die, and go to hell. I've been to church before in which the pastor, that's all he ever preached. So you are still selling cigarettes and you are still abusing your husband. Let me tell you, you will die and go to hell. As soon as you enter the bus, and it works for you very well, if you just pass where accident just happened on the road, you may be the next. As we are going, you scare everybody one way or the other. All right? Now, you know, But that, you know, that did that young man. I remember he just spoke up that whether we could give him a few minutes, and he began to speak. That he wants to just explain something to us about what's going on in the country. I can't remember the detail of his message, but the young man, you know, I'm a teacher, all right? I perceived his teaching anointing. He began to teach, and he must have spoken for like 3 to 5 minutes. And when he finished, now, in that message, he would declare the counsel of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the understanding that Jesus came to give us and all of that. And when he finished, he thanked us very much for his time and for our times, and then relaxed. And the message and the journey continued. I had never seen it like that before. And I said, Jesus Christ, this is real ministry. Listen, I know you're saying that, did he close it? Listen, he's not a salesman. Did he close the sale? He has planted a seed in your heart. The Holy Spirit knows what to do with it. The other one I want to narrate, I wasn't there, somebody told me about it. It was in a bus in Benin City, and two young women entered the bus, and they just said, come, if you guys don't mind, we'd like to just give you a song. And two of them did a beautiful song, and that was all they did. They sang for people in the bus, sang of the praises of the Lord, sang of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thanked everybody for listening, and the journey continued. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen. If you indeed are a witness, you will discover that witnessing for Christ is actually very easy. Listen, I'm going somewhere. If you are a teacher like I am and you're inside a bus, don't holla anybody. If you, this is how you go, what I mean by don't holla anybody, don't threaten. You will just die. Oh, this bus, we are going to say, hey, life is hanging by the thread. Anything can happen. The tire of your bus, you're in trouble. They will believe you to the end of the journey. After that, say, oh boy, since we don't die now. Can we have the life back? Now, let me just explain something. If you have understanding as an example, people are discussing in the bus and they are speaking. Like Paul, you interrupt them and say, please, can I share my own wisdom with you? They are afraid. Election is coming. They said, this is, the north is saying it is their turn. No, this is the turn of the south. South, God has given this man opportunity. Let us see. They know you keep on talking. Everybody's talking up and down. Then just interject them simply. Say, do you people know that no matter what we do, God rules in the affairs of men? Say, what do you mean? Now, I'm giving you the way Pastor Maggie understands things. I said, listen, any accident you find in political schemes is the working of God. That, listen, the former president did not die by accident. The Lord removed him, and the current one there is there in this season because it's the determination of God. And I want all of you to understand that the person that will be president by this time next year has been determined. And then you take people back, that when God is angry, he puts the Egyptians in the custody of a wicked ruler. That's not the schemings of the north or the south that matters. It's whether God is pleased towards us. Listen, I'm talking like Pastor Banky. All right? Now, there are things you will say, and people will know what you are saying. You know what you are saying. Do you get my point? They will know that you know what you are saying. I think lack of understanding is one of the major problems we have with proper witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know what we are saying ourselves. They are discussing America pullout from Iraq, as an example, if you are among those who are involved in such things. And you want to preach, say, let me tell you, the soul that's in it, he shall die. A lot of times, your presence is a bit, sorry to say it, is irritating. That was this guy. Now, that's why Christians look as if they don't know anything. They are as if they are not normal people. Go and see, when Paul entered a city, he looked around. There were all kinds of gods there. Then he saw a temple or an image to the unknown God. He said, let's talk about that unknown God for a moment. Then he began to teach them about the unknown God. Listen, the message that applies to the Jews is not the same that applies to the Gentiles. I just want to communicate with people. Because the typical Jew knows about Abraham. The God of Abraham does not need any introduction to the Jew. He knows about Isaac. You don't have to come and tell him God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knows. I mean, he was born in his presence. His father showed that he was a serious Jew by circumcising him in the presence of that God on the eighth day. He grew up going to the temple. He knows all the stories around his heritage. You can't go and preach to the Jew and say, let me tell you about the unknown God. He knows about the real God. Are you getting my point? So Paul, when he will get there, he starts teaching, all right, in a way that people can connect. Now let me just say something. I'm not teaching methods now. So go and, that's a mistake we now make. We are trying to know the right methods. No. If indeed you are a witness, are you getting my point? And you know the true God and people are worshiping the unknown God, you call them and say, do you want his address? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Yeah, you will ask them, do you want the address? I know the person you are trying to locate. It comes out of you naturally. Because indeed you are a real witness in yourself. Now, not because you are trying to preach, but because you know the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? A lot of people who are trying to preach don't know the truth. That's why people can confound people with arguments. They come with all kinds of arguments because you are sitting on an area. You know, there was one man that was born blind. Argument started. This man is not from God. Well, at the end of the day, the man said, listen, let's not continue this discussion. I have only one thing to tell you. I was blind. Now I can see. Argue that. He's a sinner. If he was not a sinner, why should he heal? Listen, boys, I don't know this story you are telling. One thing I know is that I was blind. I can see. Argue from Genesis to Malachi. You cannot argue the fact that I was blind. Now I can see. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Listen, if you're in a vehicle, I'll stand as an example. If somebody is worried about life and you see somebody crying, that's a good way. What is your problem? My father is at home. He's very sick. All right. When next this vehicle stops, if you don't mind, I can pray with you. And God will hear me and your father will be okay. Let me tell you another thing. One of our problems in Christianity. This is a matter of fact. Do you know we don't love people? Yeah. Let me explain what I mean. A lot of times people we are preaching to, we don't care whether they lived or died. We're just trying to save ourselves, you know what I'm saying? If I don't preach, now when I go to heaven, I'm in trouble. So, but here is whether I like repent, don't repent, that's your personal problem. But you've heard it. Once I saw a man on TV. I felt very bad. Well, not for me, but for him. This was an American, I think an artist or something, and he was talking about his work and everything. And he explained that one of the things, now two different people are mixing up now. One guy is French, a French journalist, the other one is an American. Both of them said the same things, all right, two different times. I saw both interviews or both speeches. Both of them were accusing Christians essentially that all they did was were issues of self-interest. That why do they repent? They want to go to heaven. Self-interest. Are you getting my point? One even accused God of selfishness. That was the problem with Ten Commandments. That is the problem. The first few commandments is about the God. The God only thinks about himself. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make an engraved image. Thou shalt not. He said, what? Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God. He said, the guy is so self-centered. All he ever thinks about is himself. I thought that was very stupid. That was very ignorant. It's like when the parent tells the child, don't ever take anything from strangers. Is that self-centeredness? It's for your own good. But let's talk about the other guy, the American. He portrayed Christians that, look, listen, all they ever do is that everybody, he says, they are trying to cover their backs. You want to die and go somewhere good. So you do good works on the earth because you want to get something later. It saddened me because the man was right. That's what we do a lot of times. But that's not what God wants us to do. When Jesus came, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him will not perish. I've heard people turn it around and say, you see, God knew what he was doing. He gave a seed of his son that he might reap a large harvest of children. So you see, that was it, to the holy, everything is holy. To the unholy, even the holiness of God is unholy. To the selfish people, they only see selfishness in everything that's done. We're able to distill the principle of give so you can get out of that one. Because that's all we are going for. God didn't try to get, he tried to save people. What am I saying? As a matter of fact, if really, truly, the love of people is what is propelling you, you know what to say. And you know what not to say. What I'm saying, what pushes us a lot of times is not the love for the people we are preaching to. Is that we are trying to satisfy this, look, let me just mark the register, I have done it. A real witness, this is what it is, he has been blessed. And he wants to share that blessedness with you. That's all. Are you getting my point? Listen, there are people that have troubles. Listen, it's when you encounter some kinds of troubles some people have. And suddenly you look back and say, this is why I don't have this trouble. Oh boy, this is how life is. Let me share that with you. Then I share with you what I believe. Let me tell you, look, when you talk about preaching the gospel, somebody called me the other day, we're chatting on the phone. Well, good encouragement for each other at the end of the day. Just talking about life generally, that there are times he's in the place where he works, he's talking with people, and he tells them what he does and what he has achieved now. They've achieved more than he has physically. They have more houses, do you get my point? More businesses, more money, more investments. But when he will talk and say, look, last week I was in this place and we're talking to 200 young people. And they're like, I wrote a book and did this one. No, they just see the way the young man's life is influencing people. And they open their mouths, like, what is going on with you? That is, how do you manage? Those are the points in which you preach the gospel to people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like, so I'm talking to my colleagues. They will talk here, talk, go there, say, this is my point. This is how I live. Are you getting my point? I tell you, this is how I live, and this is why I live the way I do. I know that God, you know, I start talking about God again. That is, I'm a witness. I'm not trying to tell you something that happens to somebody else. My life is like this because of the faith I have in Christ Jesus. Now, that same knowledge of Christ Jesus is what I am sharing with you. Let me tell you the truth. You can't force anybody to believe it. You can't count, we do it, the number of souls you have won to Christ. You can't. There are a lot of people who give your life to Christ right now and say, if I bow my head, this nigger will leave me alone. So he will bow his head and then you mark it, say, I don't win one to the next. Don't ever forget Paul plants, Apollo's waters. God does the conversion and checking who and who got saved. The only thing Paul is supposed to do, if you are Paul, it's just to keep planting. What is the planting? Just continually share the testimony concerning how God has touched your life. That is what real witnessing is about. That is why you can imagine you can never influence anybody. No, I emphasized something earlier, Jerusalem. Remember Jerusalem? Jerusalem. You can't influence anybody. If in Jerusalem you are known to be the Barnabas, is it Barabbas, the one they give in place of Jesus Christ, resurrected, troublemaker, Jaguda, then you leave and go and preach in a neighborhood far from your own.